Rock.
This is like our last program together.
This is D-Day.
Yeah. And so, kind of gives me kind of butterflies thinking about the history we've had together.
It's been a wonderful history, and I'm excited about your new adventures. I think it's going to be wonderful. This is Joanne Bowman.
And Alan Graf here. Oh, I'm losing my microphone.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I wanted to keep that music going, Richard, but there we go. All right, good, good. You make the sweetest cherry pie from... Yeah, well, it's quite an adventure. As I was telling you before, it's interesting that the Portland Alliance listed me as a former Portland resident.
But, well, you gotta love it, huh? You're gone. You're gone in people's mind. Out of the Rolodex.
Yeah.
Off the speed dial.
That's right. You can't be attached to your own immortality, can you?
No, you can't.
Legacy, what's that?
Leave it to your friends, right?
That's right.
Say, okay, he's out of here. He's gone.
Yeah. But as Michael Franny says, we're moving on and on. Moving on. You know, I'll really miss actually getting to see your wonderful husband play music. He's going to keep doing that, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. That's what he does. The good news, though, is that, you know, you can invite him to Tennessee to come and play some music.
That would be awesome.
His bass will travel.
All right. And will he bring you with him is the question.
Well, yeah, you got to make sure that that's so. That's got to be a stipulation.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm looking forward to coming to visit you.
Oh, yeah. And one of the things I'm really going to miss is the people of Portland. I mean, this is really a cool town.
The song coming to an end, kind of?
It's getting close.
It's getting there.
Oh, yeah.
To be exact.
And I want to really thank my pal Richard, who's been engineering this program for years, putting up with our doodah.
Yeah, Richard makes us sound good every week.
That's
week
right.
in and week out.
He's been doing it. Kathleen, AM News, she's just kept us together. It's been good.
But nobody's dying, okay? This is not an obituary.
Come on, I'm getting sentimental.
Right, I know. It's like all of a sudden I'm getting this view of, oh, Thursday mornings will be dead from here on out.
No. It's going to keep going, yeah. Do you love someone is what he's saying. Definitely. Do you love somebody? Then hold that one. Do you love someone? Do you love someone? All right, yeah.
Right, so changes are coming, huh?
Changes are coming. And
change is a good thing.
Change is good.
Change is a very good thing. And there are so many people who are afraid of change. You know, they see change as a negative and you know, with all those negative connotations. And change can actually be a very invigorating and inspirational activity to be involved in, especially when the change is being made because you want to make the change as compared to, you know, being run out of town because there's nowhere to hide anymore.
That's right. Exactly. You know, anyway, this is Alan Graf, by the way.
And this is Joanne Bowman.
And this is
Voices
from the Edge, at least in this incarnation. And Joanne's going to carry on and keep doing her good stuff, which is great. And I'm going to try to listen over the internet, catch you on KBOO, because you can get KBOO anywhere.
As
a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting. When I first met Eleanor and I was courting her kind of over from Portland to Tennessee, she would tune into our radio station in Tennessee.
Ah.
Yeah, she'd have it, you know, sitting at her desk working and put on the headphones, listen to Alan and Joanne. So it was kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah. And I wanted to say a couple of things to people who've called in, kind of the regular folks over the air. I hope you call in today so we can just kind of chat and say goodbye. But some of the folks, I don't know their names, but, you know, there's this one lady who calls in. I've usually first and, you know, has various comments. If you're listening, I want to say goodbye to you. I've really appreciated your comments over the years, and you do make a valuable contribution here. That's been great. Chuck Caron, who always introduces himself as Chuck, he's made great contributions and gave us some thoughtful stuff. Francis is another person who's called in, always is very focused on, you know, on how the white establishment, you know, treats African Americans in this town. I've always appreciated her comments that way. There's other people as well that it's been really good. I wanted to go back and just talk a little bit about how we put the show together, since we're ending this segment of it at least, and you know, just sort of go back and give a little history. Joanne and I met when we first started working on police accountability. And we were, Dan Handelman and I at that time were started working with the NAACP, and you were a member of the NAACP at the time. And
yes.
Obviously, the police were doing
what they do.
And particularly, we wanted to do something, you know, well, for all residents, but of course, you know, the African-American community that always seems to get the short end of the stick with police misconduct. And we ended up on this committee together that we worked on for, what, about 7 months, something like that?
That's right.
And at times we agreed, at times we disagreed, but I remember there was this one incident right at the end when we finally finished that committee. I think Derry and Jackson and Mark Abrams had this big blowout in town about whose people suffered more.
Yes.
And I remember calling up Joanne. I said, can we put a program together where we're not, you know, getting into such immature public rantings? And she said, yeah, that would be good. And we proposed to Kathleen, and that's how we started. And we've been doing this, I don't even remember when we started.
It's been
3 years? 4 years?
Four.
You think it's four?
I think it's closer. I think we're, I think it's about 4 years.
Yeah. And that's how we kind of got going. And for myself, for radio, the first time I was on KBOO, Marlena Smith interviewed me. I was like maybe about a half year out of law school, and she needed some lawyer for some legal opinion. Here I was. I didn't even know anything. I just got out of law school like, okay, I'll give you a legal opinion. You know, like, and I got on, and it's like infectious. As soon as I got on the radio, like, hey, this is great. I love this.
I like this.
And
well, I was a neophyte at that time.
Yeah.
Wasn't quite sure video was my stick.
Really? And I did that for a few times, came on Marlene as a sort of an expert guest. And then a fellow named Shane Endicott called me. Oh. He was doing, do you know Shane?
I do know Shane.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right. And he was doing a show called Rebalancing the Scales of Justice. Mm. And it had a lot to do with prison rights and prisoners and stuff. And he'd been doing it for a while. And he called me up one day and he said, how would you like to take over my show?
Yeah.
And, you know, do something about prisoners' rights. And I ended up doing that. It was a Sunday night show, and I did that for a while, Rebalancing the Scales of Justice. And then Kathleen had me start doing something every fourth Thursday morning. And I changed it to Law Squawk. That was a show that ran for about maybe 3-4 years, where I bring in different lawyers to answer questions in different areas of the law. And that was kind of cool. That was a good show. And then we sort of evolved into Voices from the Edge, where we've been doing every Thursday morning. So kind of my radio history. And I tell you, KBOO, one of the things I said in this latest alliance, which I would, you know, maybe you can pass this on to the Potter family, is that, you know, KBOO's, the city of Portland has never officially recognized KBOO as a great asset, as a great city asset.
That's a good point.
And, you know, there's a lot of people in town I know who say, you know, if it wasn't for KBOO, I don't know if I could even be in Portland. I mean, there's just such great stuff here. And I just really want to recognize this station. I mean, it's an amazing place. Just think about, you know, think about the left, the progressive movement. Think about how many diverse opinions. Think about how many strong opinions. Think about how many people who get, like, you know, worked up about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then put all those people together and have them put a project together and have it last 30 years.
Right. That's right.
And have it keep running on, you know, listener fund their donations. Mm-hmm. Never in the red, you know, buying its own building, keeping its voice clear, not sacrificing its principles. This is really an amazing thing. It really is. There's not many cities in the United States that have a radio station like this. So I really want to give thanks to all the people that are doing stuff here and have put this together. It's been great. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. We'd like to hear from you just to talk. We can talk about politics, as usual. It's the community watering hole. You can talk about, you know, stuff you've appreciated that we've done here over the years, or stuff that's really annoyed you. Hey, I remember, I gave everybody an assignment. Probably nobody's done it, but I I try to remember a couple of things, sort of poignant moments in our radio career.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one where we invited this colonel on.
Oh, yes, yes, I remember that.
Colonel, what was his name? I forget.
He
was a very proud Marine, but he was critical of, he might have been critical of the war or critical of it starting off. I remember we brought him on, and I just started asking him questions, and immediately he kind of like put me in this box of like this hippie peacenik. I don't know how he could have gotten that idea.
Off the radio, no less.
And Joanne jumped to my defense and just started telling him off. And then he just said, fine, I'm leaving. And then after that, we got like a whole bunch of angry callers who were like mad at us.
You should have let him talk.
Yeah. And so I thought that was kind of one of my memorable moments where we got emails like, well, you let him talk, you know.
Well, actually, if you remember, I cut him off and then just ended the call.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In my opinion, he was just being abusive. And
he was.
We like people to disagree with us, but we don't get paid enough to be abused.
Do you remember when Lars Larson called in anonymously?
I remember that, yes.
Do you remember what he said?
No, I don't remember.
I think
what
it was
said.
Around about Kendra James. I think he called in about, you know, her being a drug user and stuff like that. You could tell his voice immediately.
Right, right.
Yeah. Hey, anyway, we got a call. Let's go to our first call. Good morning, you're on KBOO.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That colonel's name was Hackworth.
Hackworth.
All right.
You remember that show? No.
Kind of yes and no. I gave you the book. About Face. That was his first publication.
What was his view? What was his point of view?
Well, he was he started out as an infantry private and worked his way up. He was in Korea. Well, he was in the early Trieste right after about 1946, the Yugoslavs were shooting at the pillboxes that they were in.
Oh, all right.
And then he finally went to Korea when Korea started in 1950, and then after Korea he survived all of that, and then went to Vietnam.
All right.
And just worked his way up, and he also confronted the American government. He was the most decorated army soldier at the time, and they pulled his passport as being almost like treasonous to the American government.
Wow.
He's been on both sides of the fence.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
All right.
Maybe we just caught him in a bad mood that day.
Well, no, he was pushing his other book.
Oh,
yeah, right.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly.
I remember that now. Thank you. We need listeners to remind us of our short attention span someday.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
You know, that actually reminds me of something that happened to me Tuesday night. Tom Hastings and the Catholic Workers and Veterans for Peace, every Tuesday night at 5:30, go out in front of the Army recruiting station and read names of people who died, show pictures of soldiers who've been mutilated, amputated. There's a bunch of them out there. And I went out there to join them. I figured it would just be good for me to be, to join them and be respectful of what they're doing. And they have one guy there who comes out there who is really disruptive. He says he's a former vet. And as they read the names, he comes right up to their face, a few inches away from them, and starts screaming at them.
Oh, wow.
Saying that they have no right to read these veterans' names, and they're being disrespectful. And he gets really worked up to the point he's a little scary, to where
right.
he looks like he's going to, you know, jump off on somebody. In fact, he's pushed people there, too. And, of course, the police have not come to protect those folks. But I want to just suggest that everybody go out there, that we have, you know, a huge crowd of people. Tuesday night, it's on Northeast Broadway, and you know exactly where the recruiting station is? Maybe around around 15th, right around there.
It's it's probably closer to Broadway and Northeast 13th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. And so that would be good. I mean, they're doing good stuff, and, you know, people who come in there who are going to be fodder for the Army need to know all what's going to happen to them. I mean, not just the rosy picture of, you know, get your college education paid and so forth, but, hey, you're at serious risk for having your life taken away. And for what is the big question?
Mm-hmm.
503-231-8187. This is Joanne and I, or my and Joanne's last show together. And, yeah, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear from people who've called in before, new callers, whatever. It's my last time to talk with you all in Portland, and
well, just for a little time. I mean, you're coming back, and you're
I'll be coming back.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, I'll be coming back. You'll let me on occasionally.
Absolutely.
And but you know, I'm just going to say that the, you know, generally the folks who call in and we've spoken with over the years, this is an incredibly well informed, educated, passionate bunch of folks.
That's,
I mean,
absolutely.
Really incredible. Some of the conversations we have just left me mind blown. And when I leave here, I'm always like better informed. I feel like I'm part of a community. It's just great, really great. So anyway, we'll go to our next caller, 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Good morning. You're on KBOO.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm a Portlander, from born and raised here.
Great.
And of course, I went to school in California,
uh-huh.
and then I went to New York for about 12 years, and then kind of worked my way back to Portland.
Well, we switched places.
Oh, yeah.
I was born in New York.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
How about, what year?
1950.
Wow. That's very close to the time I was there, too.
All right.
So anyway, then I worked my way back to Portland. I lived in Chicago for about 8, and then I couldn't stand being away from Portland. And about that time I got back, KBOO was kind of getting started.
Wow.
So I'm an old-time KBOO listener.
That's great.
And I did want to say, Alan, I've really enjoyed your programs, your point of view, naturally, and so on and so forth. But anyway, I'm sorry to hear you're going. Now, where are you going anyway?
I'm going to a place called, I got to open up my shirt here, called The Farm. It's one of the places called The Farm. There's another place called The Farm down in Tryon Creek, too, that's... They're trying to save that place as a preserve and prevent, you know, huge developments from going in. But The Farm is, or was at one point, America's largest hippie commune. It had, in its heyday, about 1,600 people living on 1,700 acres, almost a one person per acre. Now it's down to about 300, still going, still thriving, and it's still doing a whole bunch of good stuff. They're sending missions and medical teams down to New Orleans to work with the Houma Indians. They've got a midwife crew that they deliver babies. Anybody who wants to have a baby delivered comes there from all over the world. They have an eco village where they train people in sustainable living, sustainable housing. They have a group called Peace Roots, which is a national group that's part of the United for Peace and Justice Coalition. Probably forgetting something there, but oh, they got Swan Trust, where they've bought an additional 1,700 acres that they've taken away from Willamette Industries. It's over there right now and keeping it in an eco trust. So a lot of good stuff happening there, and I'm hoping to plug into all of that good action. So that's what The Farm is.
Now, what state is that in?
Tennessee.
Tennessee. Well, I'll be darned. Yeah, I've heard of that place, I think. But well, I know you're going to do a great job there, Alan, and like I say, we're going to miss you, so lots of luck and all that stuff.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I tell you something really encouraging. I'm looking out here in another studio that's going on as Joanne and I are working. I guess two young folks, so maybe, you know, in their early 20s, putting together a show that's coming up. They're just like jumping up and down. Here we are, like quarter to eight, and they're just having a whole great time. And makes me feel like KBOO is not just, you know, the old hippies' retirement station, but we're passing on the Dharma here to our young folks who are taking it on. So it's really good to see that sort of stuff. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Joanne, you're kind of silent today.
Oh, well, I'm just watching you go.
Yeah. See, Alan won. There Alan goes. There he goes.
See, Alan's had too much caffeine this morning, I think.
No.
No caffeine?
No caffeine.
Oh.
Hey, go to our next call. Good morning on KBOO.
Hello. Good morning, Alan.
Hey.
And Joanne.
Hello.
Hi. Well, Alan, I wish you the best and hope that this move you make will be moved back to the earth and closer to Mother Nature. And I appreciate your effort through the years. I've been a long-time listener, but I haven't called and talked to you. I called Joanne once. But my question is for Joanne, in fact, wondering about the future of the show and if you're going to find a replacement for Alan or what you'll be doing with Voices from the Edge.
That's a good question. I think that what's going to happen for the first few months next year is that I will have some guest co-hosts come in and do the show with me. My ultimate hope is to find another Alan Graf-like individual to permanently partner with. But for the first few months of next year, I'm just going to have some guest folks in.
Oh, okay.
You know, because it's kind of hard to find somebody you can argue with every day and actually still maintain a friendship with. So I've got to interview some folks for that.
Well, good luck, Joanne. I'm sure you'll find it. There's lots of talent in Portland, and although we'll sure miss Alan, I think the show can continue in a similar format and be successful.
I think so, too. Thank you. I appreciate positive feedback.
All right. See you later.
All right. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you. All right. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Let's go to the next call. Good morning. You're on KBOO.
Good morning, Alan and Joanne. This is Bonnie Tinker.
Hey.
How are you?
How you doing?
Well, I'm hanging in there along with everyone else.
All right.
I just wanted to call Alan and say how much we're going to miss you.
Well, thank you very much. I really remember those great moments when you and I sat on a stage with Mark Croker.
Yes, that'd be one way to remember.
Is that be business history?
And we were taking him to task for all the stuff that Dave Mazza found out about. And remember that?
I remember. You know
the Mazza tapes.
What I'm thinking of mostly is that even though Croker's gone, it seems the problem isn't solved.
Yeah.
I had occasion to talk to Joanne just recently about a young man who had his car towed in the middle of the night. And it seems probably the primary offense was driving while black. And I said, what can I tell him to do about this? And she said, well, of course there's Alan Graf. But now there's not going to be Alan Graf. And I'm real concerned about what happens to all the little folks. Just, you know, my response to this incident was kind of, you know, the devil's in the details.
Yeah.
And it's these little things that come down on people. Another one that I know of this Christmas is a child who was supposed to spend Christmas with one parent, and the other parent just didn't answer the door and wouldn't let the kid go there.
Oh, wow.
And how many low-income parents are not getting their visitation or having child custody problems, and there's really no one to help them.
That's right.
Because, you know, if you don't have access to lawyers, you don't really have access to the law.
Exactly.
That's right. Well,
so, Alan, what's going to happen to, who's going to replace you?
Well, actually, we hired somebody.
Good.
Yeah, well, you know, and give him a chance.
I need to know the name.
Alejandro Corral is our new director of our Northwest Constitutional Rights Center. He's coming December 31st, and one of the nice things about the lawsuit the results of the lawsuit against the police for the protesters is we got a bunch of money, and we took a bunch of that money and put it into this center, and we've got enough to run for maybe about a year and a half.
Let
everybody know that. So we're going to have to be out there doing some fundraising too. But the center is going to be located at 1020 Southwest Taylor, Suite 449. It's in operation right now, and Alejandro is a really sharp guy. Joanne and I have met him and talked with him, and he's got a lot of experience just being an organizer, an activist, working with nonprofits. He's actually one of the driving forces that prevented the Sierra Club from doing this stupid thing of, like, trying to exclude immigrants from the United States for environmental reasons. He was the guy who talked the National Sierra Club out of that racist policy. So he's got some really good stuff happening, and we feel pretty confident that he's going to, kind of take on some of the work that I've done, but expand upon it and do some more stuff. So we're hoping for big things. And Joanne's met him too. And
oh yeah, he's going to be great. But I think, he should know that he's not going to be taking on individual cases.
Right.
The Northwest Constitutional Law Center is really about pushing the public policy decision, whether that means in court, organizing a community.
There'll be a few individual cases that we'll do.
Okay, yeah. But I don't want the impression that it's going to be every case. That he's going to be another Alan Graf. Unfortunately, what he's going to be wonderful in what he does. But I just didn't want poor Alex to come to town and all of a sudden, well, I was told on the air that
I'm going to take care of all
the
problems.
You're the new guy, right?
Which means we've still got to find some way to get legal help people who can't afford it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you raise a really good point, because there are so many kind of issues that lawyers won't take on because of fear of the repercussions of what will happen.
Right.
And, we were talking earlier about Lee Berger and his medical marijuana work, and Alan is very well known for his disability work and taking on the police. And there are just so few lawyers. So that's a really good question to put out there.
Yeah.
Who are the other lawyers in town that actually take on these kind of cases?
Well, you know, as far as, like, representing people arrested in demonstrations, Paul Oney and Stu Sugarman are still doing that sort of stuff. So they're people you can call as well.
Uh-huh.
Right. And again, the hole that I see is for those folks who just have the routine kind of harassment.
Right.
Routine kind of just messing with your life.
Yeah.
And you can't really get any help if you don't have a lawyer.
That's right.
And if you don't have any money, you can't really go hire a lawyer.
Yeah.
So much for equal justice. Huh?
Yeah, well, someone needs to step up to the plate. Definitely.
Yep. Well, in any case, Alan, I really appreciate everything you've done while you've been here. You've set a great standard. And, Joanne, I'm so glad you're on the air and we'll be there to carry on.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. And
great,
we appreciate your work as well. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah,
okay.
You've done some incredible work over the years. Another unsung hero in our
That's
community.
Right.
Huh?
Oh, thank you.
Have a great day, Bonnie.
You too. And you have a great life, Alan. We'll look forward to hearing from you next time.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Take care.
Maybe
Bye-bye.
We'll have to get reports from the farm.
That's
okay,
right.
Today at 9 a.m. we'll be hearing a report from the farm.
That's right. Well, I'm actually going to be doing that. Hey, this is KBOO Portland. Chickens and pigs, Richard says. Hey, I'm vegetarian, man.
Good, more pigs for me.
All right. 503-231-8187, KBOO Portland. Hey, this is our last go-around here with you, and at least Joanne will be back in your face as usual, in her calm, civil, courteous way. Ha!
So let's see. Yeah, next week we're actually going to have Dave Mazza.
All right.
And the topic that we'll be talking about will be... Should the city of Portland ban cell phones from being used inside of automobiles?
Whoa. Now, Maz, I have some bad words
coming up this morning on TV.
You know, in my interview with Quillen Alliance, I never said that. That was Maz injecting it, trying to make me look colorful, like a colorful figure. You know, sort of giving me street cred. Thanks, Dave. I really appreciate
it. You can't have it both ways, Alan, right? First you
groan
because the media just won't report accurately what you say.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You get a community media person who reports exactly what you say. And you're like, well, wait,
Israel,
I don't
Palestine,
sound
how to end
like I want to sound.
And at 10:30,
oh, yeah, you know,
Eleanor
read that.
Yes,
she said, I'm looking to send that over.
Let my mother.
I know.
Amy Goodman and
that is the downside to being colorful,
yeah.
Very few people you can share it with.
Yeah. All right, 503-231-8187. Good morning, you're in KBOO. Hello.
Yes, Alan, I'm just calling to say goodbye. I'm one of your frequent callers. I've lived in Portland since 1993, discovered KBOO shortly thereafter, and have been
great.
A supporter ever since.
Cool.
And, Alan, I must say that you probably are just about my favorite, and I'm devastated that you're leaving Portland. It's a big loss. It's going to be a big hole at KBOO. And one thing in particular I remember, since we're being nostalgic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it isn't that long ago, during the last election, I remember calling in a very heated fashion about, you know, whether or not to vote Democrat or for Ralph Nader. And you were the only person I talked to on KBOO that really gave it you had some real thoughtful ideas about it. And I think you were really torn. And I still am angry about what happened as far as the Democratic Party and what they did to Ralph Nader. I think your conversation and your ideas about it were the best that I heard on KBOO.
Well, thank you.
And I do think I think I was right. I don't think anybody can say that backing Kerry was the right thing to do. But anyhow, we are going to miss you so much. And I always felt kind of comfortable knowing you were there in case of some of the things that are going on as a result of the Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, I heard the previous caller ask who is going to take your place, and you didn't really answer. Alejandro evidently is going to, you know, fill one aspect of the role that you've played in our community. But who can we call in case of a problem in being surveilled because we're activists in peace groups or animal rights?
Yeah, I think Joy and I can, you know, have a disagreement about this as usual. But, I mean, I foresee the center being able to do that sort of stuff. If activists are being spied upon, you know, and that sort of thing, that, you know, I mean, I think the basic thing is that we don't want the center getting bogged down in a lot of individual cases. I think there will be some cases that'll have, like, we'll be looking at cases in terms of impact.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a case that comes along, like a Rodney King case, for instance, that would be an individual case, but that shows a pattern and practice
mm-hmm.
of discrimination and brutality and racism that the LAPD is having. The center would take on a case like that.
Something that would possibly impact others also.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, but of course, you know, every case where there's police brutality, you could look at it as indicative of, you know, how the police are. But, you know, we would get overwhelmed. We're only going to have, like, one, you know, maybe one or two staff people to start off with. We're a small fledgling organization, and we don't want to just get overwhelmed in terms of, you know, taking on those cases. Unfortunately, there aren't a lot of lawyers who want to take those cases on. And we, you know, one of the things I've been doing the last year is trying to encourage more lawyers to do these cases, you know, and so, you know, it's a good point. I mean, I'm hoping, I think the way sometimes things work is when you create a vacuum, nature abhors a vacuum, and you know, somebody will step in and do that sort of stuff that I've been doing.
Well, that would be a starting place then to call them and even get a referral.
Absolutely. We're doing referrals. That's one of the things we're doing right now is people call in looking for lawyers. We have a list of lawyers that we think are competent, and we at least do a referral thing at this point, and also look at to see if, you know, that kind of case is going to be helpful to us. I mean, I'd like to, one of the things I like to see the center start off with, and I've been talking to Alejandro about this, is file FOIA requests on behalf of all of the political organizations in Portland, or a lot of them, to see if the FBI's been, who's the FBI's been spying on in Portland.
Right.
You know, like from Oregon Action to, to Cop Watch to any of those groups, to the group that Bonnie Tinker works with, Love Makes a Family. Let's see if the FBI's been spying on any of these groups.
Well, the ACLU has actually put in a request to do just that.
Really?
And there was an article in the Oregonian this morning that quoted Andrea Myers as the I think they got some information locally from the FBI that actually proved that they, in fact, were spying on groups because of their political affiliation.
In Portland?
In Portland.
Really?
And
well,
what they haven't been able
surprise,
to...
Surprise,
what, I think I have it backwards. I think they found nationally that there was proof.
Okay.
And what they are looking for now with a public records request is to be able to determine whether or not it's specifically happening in Portland since we've pulled out of the Joint Terrorism Task Force.
Right, right, right.
And certainly animal rights, don't ever leave them
out.
Oh,
yeah,
I
absolutely.
I mean, they're right up, PETA is right up there.
No
on
kidding.
Top.
Oh, yeah.
And I happen to be an animal rights activist as well, and I appreciate Alan's statements on behalf of animals, too, on several occasions. What is the phone number of the Constitutional Law Center? The
Constitutional Rights Center. And it's 503-295-6400, 503-295-6400. And,
right.
And, you know, I'm hoping, I'm sure Joanne down the road will have Alejandro on as a guest, once he gets going and started, and so she can introduce him to Portland and people can get to meet him and know him.
Please come back, Alan.
Oh, I'm coming back. I'm going to keep a couple of toes here
in
Portland.
I hope
so. I've been here 17 years, God. Just raised kids, you know, graduated from law school. You know, it's just been a really long, strange trip, as the Grateful Dead would say.
Well, we're going to miss you.
Well, thank you. I'm going to miss you,
so
too.
So much. Okay, thanks again.
All right,
again.
Thank
Have
you very much.
Have a great day.
503-231-8187. All right, get my handkerchief out here.
I'm getting all misty-eyed here.
No, I appreciate the last caller. I mean, she's definitely feisty, a person who's raised some really good issues. And the other thing I want to say is I've said this before. You know, if I have a couple of last words, and I guess this is my last chance. Portland is really unique in that we have an incredible progressive community. There are people who are doing all sorts of really cool things. I saw an article in, I think, on this week's Willamette Week or last week about a woman who's doing this magazine of voices of women from all over the world. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about how, you know, she really likes Portland, and Portland is a really creative place for that sort of stuff. It really was encouraging to see that. And I think that one of the things I'd like to see, this is maybe sort of a symptom of the left, is that, and it's kind of, you know, part of my comments before about KBOO, is that we really show appreciation for each other, the people who are doing good work, like Bonnie Tinker. Bonnie Tinker, as Joanne says, like one of those people who doesn't get a lot of recognition, but she's been around for a really long time, you know, promoting diversity, promoting love, promoting, you know, respect for people, you know, for being human beings. And she's just been great. And, you know, Portland needs to give her a reward, you know, just like KBOO. I mean, we need to, you know, honor those people because the folks who've been doing that, particularly the folks who work at their projects for long periods of time, not just sort of flash in, do 3 months of activism, and then leave for Hawaii to get to find themselves. You know, there are folks like Dan Handelman. Dan's been going since the Pleistocene era, you know, in terms of police accountability. I mean, there's a guy who, you know, you'd say, hey, let's give recognition to Dan. He'll go, no, I don't want any recognition. You know
right.
what I mean?
That but, would you know, what say.
Yeah,
right.
basically. But we need to look at folks like that in the Portland community, I think, see what they're doing to understand what makes them tick, how they've been effective, because all that stuff that they've learned and done over the years are tools that we can, all can use, you know? So anyway, soapbox on, soapbox off.
I think that's right, though. I mean, and you're right that there's not a lot of other places where people like that would get any recognition at all.
Yeah.
So if we don't do it, who will?
And then the other thing is, here's another thing. It was in my interview with the Alliance. I've been throwing this suggestion around for a while. What, you know, we talk about, there's a huge, big fight and tension between the downtown business community and the activists. The activists come out in March in the downtown business community, and the business community acts like somebody's in their living room soiling their furniture. And they call out their boys, the cops, and they beat up the protesters. This has been going on for years, okay? Well, what's the downtown business community uptight about? You know, what's their number one goal in life? They want to make money, right?
That's right.
And, like, that's okay. I mean, you know, I'm sorry if that pisses people off, but we're living in this society. You do have to make an income. I'm not talking about, you know, condoning greed and excessive profits and stuff like that, but it's okay to run a business that's profitable. It makes money. We pay your employees fair living wages and all of that. And so, but you have to have commerce, all right, that comes
right.
in. You have to have money that comes in. Well, my idea here is, what is one of the big resources here in Portland? It's the activist community. It's the progressive ideas. It's all the stuff that we do that is makes Portland unique. Why? And I keep saying this. Everybody says, what are we going to do with Memorial Coliseum? Everybody wants to turn it into some sort of Costco's.
Right.
Please don't. Instead, why don't we take Memorial Coliseum and turn it into a huge progressive activist workshops international center.
Training center.
Training center. Where people from all over the world come and learn about Max, you know. Come and learn about Bonnie Tinker's work. Come and learn about Dan Handelman's work. Come and learn about Joanne Bowman's work. Do workshops with people all over the world on how to run a progressive, sustainable city. That way, you know, we're going to have to become better at it ourselves if we're going to be an example. And two, we'd make money at it. That we'd have tons of people coming in from all over the world, tourism and stuff, coming here. And we would also, I would like to see, you know, have the city offer offices to all these groups, you know, either free or at low cost, and where it would bring all these groups together and create a great synergy. So anyway, that's some of my parting ideas for Portland.
Yeah,
what do you think?
That's a really good idea. You know, actually, there's going to be an opportunity in January. I understand that Commissioner Serena Cruz and Mayor Tom Potter are having this day to provide services to homeless folks. So they're having this big event. They're recruiting lots of volunteers on the model of something that happens in San Francisco on a regular basis, which is, and the theory is, we had people show some real creativity around Katrina,
yeah, right?
Right. So
right.
what if we could get people to like do that for our own homeless, you know, and for
exactly.
people that really need help?
That's right.
And so they're organizing this great, this big event that's going to take place in January. So if people are interested in actually supporting that, they could actually check out the mayor's website and get all the details. I'm just not remembering all the details right now.
All right. 503-231-8187. All right. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning. You're on KBOO.
Hello, Alan. You said I read or heard that you lived in Queens, New York.
Queens, New York. I was born in Jackson Heights, Queens, New York.
Well, I was born in the Bronx, but anyway.
Thanks for calling, by the way.
Woodhaven Boulevard, I can't remember anymore. Is that a big boulevard still there?
Yeah, it's big.
Yeah, because I remember when I was five and it was World War II time, and my family lived in a cold water flat, no heating, no hot running water. I remember that, and I went to PS 58 for only a year or something.
All right, I went to PS 69.
But anyway,
small world.
Well, anyway, it was very cold with. And they used to shut off the living room with that in the wintertime. It was so dang cold. But anyway, I would like to put some ideas out for some shows in the future. Tara O'Sullivan, I think I got his name right, he had a program a couple times on KABU, and I think he was a columnist, a reporter for the Asian, I think it's called Asian Reporter.
Uh-huh.
Is it possible to connect with him on the telephone and talk to him about what's going on there? Anyway, I want to just
going on
that
where?
Out. And I was wondering too if there could be some programs on domestic violence, talking to the people running them and the clients, and also about Child Protective Service. Has it gotten better? Is it the same or is it worse? I'd like to see somebody do programs on that. And also, I don't know, again, I don't know whether it's wise or not, but I was thinking as a partner for you, Joanne, if you wanted one, I was thinking of recruiting a Native American male or female or an Asian American male or female. But anyway, go onward and forward, and thanks for everything, and take care. Goodbye.
Great idea.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your input over the years. Really
yeah,
appreciate it.
Yeah, she's been pretty awesome and pretty
yeah.
consistent.
Oh, yeah. 503-231-8187. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning. You're on KABU.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sarah Kalila in Vancouver.
All right. Vancouver. Wow.
Washington. We're not very far away.
That's great.
Actually, I wanted to comment that we have some good low-income, free legal models up here that might be good models to that I've used and recommended when I was a caseworker for Victims of Crime Act program.
Tell us about that.
Well, there is connected to the court here an office for Victims of Crime Act, and I think that's a standard with most courts. At least I got that sense when I was working with them, is that you have to hunt and ask. But there is a assistance office that's called Victims of Crime Act. Now, that's different than there is a Victims of Crime Act that's a federally funded when you're asking for legal reimbursement or salary reimbursement or medical reimbursement. And that is also something that people should know about, that there is a women, and I think it might be predominantly women's, but a Victims of Crime Act group that can be called. I also got legal aid for a Spanish-speaking woman. We took her from Vancouver to Portland, a Spanish consulate, to get legal aid on immigration. And what else? The YWCA has legal advocates, and they're really good on parenting, on domestic violence predominantly, and they're just really good at support, at getting yourself through, like, separation, protective papers,
That's
that
great.
Kind of thing.
That's great.
Yeah, and also the Northwest Justice Project is a phone number where you can get free legal advice from, like, I think it's law students, and you have to call, you know, redial a million times, but when you get them, you have incredible, undivided, and very good advice. Undivided attention and really good, legal advice.
All right.
Excellent.
Yeah. So,
well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. And
yeah.
Having been the best friend of a midwife and having read whatever that book was that came out of the farm.
Spiritual Midwifery.
I wish you the best. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a real... model that I've followed for years, so I'm really envious of you, and I look forward to your reports.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Yeah, there are resources in town, like for instance the Lewis and Clark Legal Clinic. They have students there who do if you have domestic problems, you can sometimes get students to represent you. There's also legal aid, which has been trimmed down immensely. Oregon Advocacy Center, there's another group where you can call that does free legal help. So there's not enough, definitely not. And You know, and I covered some parts of that, but there are a lot of parts out there, a lot of people out there still doing, you know, free legal assistance for people. 503-231-8187. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, Aaron Cabu.
Good morning, yes. Is this the chicken and pig show?
Yeah, that's us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cock,
good
cock.
Morning. Good morning. Reggie Bob checking in, Alan.
All right.
Hey, thank you for all your years of service and volunteerism down there at Cabu and the community. I'm sure Joanne's going to continue holding the show down well. Could you share some of the memories that you've had? When I first got to Cabu, I was volunteering at the Boo Ball.
All right.
Ah.
At the Boo Ball, where Alan was MC / judge.
Oh, and, yeah. I remember that.
Well, I hope so. I mean, we did that for a couple of years now, so you know, keep those memories going.
Oh, yeah.
And just keep doing your excellent work out there in the world, Alan, and the world will be a better place for you being in it, buddy.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
What a nice thing to say.
I appreciate that.
Be sure to share those memories off the air. I'm going to be listening.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Right.
Well, yeah, I do remember being the MC at a Boo Ball. But we got to bring the Boo Ball back. I mean, what happened
to
that?
We got to bring the Maris Ball back.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
That's right.
When I first moved here, that was the thing that happened after
that's
inauguration.
Right.
And then what, we got Vera Katz, and she didn't like music.
Right.
And
she
didn't
was like
want
the
to
Blue
do
Meanie.
It anymore.
Rah, rah. Pepperland. Bombed. Bomb Pepperland.
Now, I don't know about the Boo Ball. Tell me about that.
Oh, the Boo Ball has been a tradition for years with Cabu. They used to rent out Union Station.
Ah.
And that was just, like, totally weird. You'd go there, and everybody had, like, the most weirdest, you know, costumes. I mean, it was just amazing stuff that went there. And this big station with the clock, you know, that big clock there.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It was really just a mystical, you know, place to do stuff. And I remember emceeing, I don't know if it was at the Union Station or somewhere else. I did an MC one year. I just had a great time doing that. I think they gave me a top hat to wear, and I was just had a great time.
Oh,
it was,
that's cool.
I'd like Cabu to bring that back. I think Cabu has gotten to where it started feeling like it was competing with other Halloween parties, but
so it was a Halloween event.
Halloween event, right? Oh. The Boo Ball. That's exactly what it was.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was fun. That was really fun. 503-231-8187. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning. You're in Cabu. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Is it me?
It's you.
Oh, nobody queued me up. Well, I have a question here. I'm talking about the Northwest Constitutional Rights Center a little earlier.
Yeah.
And I've been wanting to ask you this forever.
Okay.
And since this is my last opportunity, I wanted to know if you think it's possible that the Northwest Constitutional Rights Center could file a class action lawsuit against the Independent Police Review Division on behalf of the many hundreds of people who file complaints against the police each year, only to have a biased police captain decline their complaints and prevent those complaints from being heard by the Citizen Review Committee. Because, you know, there's about 800 complaints filed against the police each year, and only about 6 complaints are given access to the Citizen Review Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And the if you've never dealt with this complaint process, you wouldn't know this, but the IPR is an inherently biased system against the public, and it ensures that there's no real accountability for police misconduct.
That's right.
So I wonder if the Northwest Constitutional Rights Center could take up a class action lawsuit.
Well, we can't, you know, give you that yes or no on that, but I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And, I mean, this is near and dear to Joanne and my heart.
Right.
We've been, like, trying to get this governmental body to be honest for years. We've been doing all sorts of things, you know, to no avail so far. And I think it's a great idea. You know, what they haven't done, what they're supposed to do is they have a customer satisfaction form. When you go through the process, you're supposed to fill out to see whether you liked it or not.
Yeah, except that in my case, they never sent me one.
Really?
They don't really care about the public.
Whether we like it or not, huh?
And, you know, I would like to see them make those public each year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a whole year's worth where people can look through them and see how did the public feel about this. I suspect you're going to see probably 90% of the public saying this system was terrible.
Right.
Didn't work.
The CRC had a meeting in northeast Portland in November, and I thought it was quite telling that nobody showed up for it. It was a public outreach meeting, and there was nobody there. And
except for Dan Handelman, right?
Pardon?
Except for Dan Handelman.
Yeah, except for Dan Handelman. And I thought that was quite telling because that's probably the north and northeast is probably where the bulk of the complaints come from.
Well, you know, what's interesting, I'd be real curious as to how they advertised if they actually wanted people to show up.
You're right, because I think if they wanted people to come, they would have sent invitations to the people who filed complaints.
Exactly, at a minimum.
Right. So anyways, that's an idea I've had for a long time is to, try to use this new law center to maybe, file a lawsuit for the people who file complaints and have their complaints consistently declined by a police captain.
Right.
I think that's a great idea, and I think you should bring it back after we have Alexandro on staff and up and running.
Okay. So maybe at some point when he's just contact the Constitutional Rights Center.
Exactly. Yeah.
But do you think that's a possibility?
I think that's a great idea.
I think it's a wonderful one. I think it's maybe one of the few resources left to us to really force this PIAC system it's not even PIAC anymore, right? Supposedly an independent system. But it occurs to me also is now that the mayor is going through this charter review process, the more people who show up at those charter review meetings and demand that the police become an independent review process. Because the thing about the charter review is the city council has no say on what makes it to the ballot, just like the county's charter review. If the citizen committee recommends it goes directly from that committee to the ballot. And so the better job we do at organizing the community to let the community know that this charter review process is taking place, and this is really a place to really talk about police accountability.
Okay.
Awesome.
I think the better off we're going to be.
Okay, I'll call the city hall and find
out. Check the mayor's website for the charter review committee meeting schedule. And I would just, I keep telling people, that's to me one of the ideal places to go to try to make real change happen.
Very good.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you both for all the work you do.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Have a great day.
I want to let you in on a secret here.
Secret? Oh,
all right.
Okay.
CRC, Citizen Review Committee, that's what's in place now.
Right.
When we picked the name of the Northwest Constitutional Rights Center, we slyly, think about the initials, NWCRC.
Right.
We're the real CRC. Hey, so listen, the person who got me going in radio just walked into the studio here, Marlena Smith. And Marlena is the one who got radio in my blood. I invited her to come here because this is my last show here today. So, Marlena, I love you. Thank you for showing up.
I love you too, Alan. And I want to thank you for making Portland a better place to live.
Thank you so much.
Joanne? Ditto.
Oh, gosh, thanks.
I'm here as the transfusion of the KABU blood into the community.
All right.
Awesome. Marlena has been just a great pal for me. She just, as I was told, I don't know if you heard what I said before on the air, that
I've been listening.
The first time I got on the radio, Marlena grabbed me as a legal expert fresh out of law school. I was like, okay, I like this.
Yeah,
good.
Let's put him on a spot now. Make sure he's got strong opinions, huh?
But Marlena did some other stuff for me that was just really wonderful when my mom was dying of cancer and I brought her back here. She connected up with my mom, became friends with her, helped ease her passage, and it was just a great thing. I just really feel it was very touching for me, and I always will feel a very, strong connection with Marlena over that she was like a sister to my mom in her dying days. And that was all out of the KABU family that came about. So this is more than just the airwaves. It's really family here.
Well, I'm sure the spirit of Lily is with us and always will be. That was a pretty magical time getting to know that wonderful woman who raised you.
Totally.
Yeah, you know, yesterday's New York Times had an interesting page one story, Above the Fold, that I thought you'd find interesting if you haven't seen it already. Police forces, their ranks thin, offer bonuses, bounties, and more. They
wow.
can't remember.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
It's a story from Seattle, but it's a nationwide story that all over the country, people are no longer joining up police forces, and they can't even recruit people anymore, and maybe you've had an impact.
Well, and we want police officers. We just want good ones.
Right.
That's right. Well, you know, this is maybe time to change the whole process and bring in people who are really connected to civil liberties, which is what it ought to be about. And, Ellen, that's one of the things I wanted to say to you, that you have a great civil rights attitude. And I remember when Lily was here, we were having conversations, and one of the things that struck me about you was your conversation about the Bill of Rights, and you talked about your grandparents.
Yeah.
So maybe you could share that piece, because I think that really is a kind of a cornerstone of the foundation of who you are.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I mean, people know about that, but, you know, my dad escaped from Nazi Germany in 39, and I'm, from my dad's side, you know, German Jews. They lived in a town called Offenbach, Germany. And my grandparents never made it out, you know, probably died in, you know, the gas chambers.
Mm.
And but my dad went back, was here in, was here for a year or two, actually met my mom and then joined the U.S. Air Force, went back to fight. And a story I'm really proud of, actually, at the end of the war, while the Allies were converging on Berlin, he got leave and went and started looking in concentration camps for his family. While, you know, he walked in the concentration camps a day or two after the Germans had left. And he found his brother. And his brother was 16 and he weighed about 50 pounds. And he was near death and he got him out and got a MASH unit to take care of him. Although it was, they didn't want to work on him because they said, well, he's not a GI. He said, I'm going to go on a hunger strike if you don't take care of my brother. And they did.
No longer a crime.
And got him back to the States. And interestingly enough, my Uncle Joe, he had his concentration camp number tattooed on. He never was able to get that off. Had nightmares every night all of his life. But got married, had a daughter, my cousin Evelyn, who now has a daughter who's going to law school. Anyway, I mean, that's, you know, part of what said I talked to my Aunt Frieda, that's part of what's driven me is not seeing, you know, a drive to not see our society deteriorate into something like Nazi Germany. And really, it can happen again, anywhere. It's not, this isn't something that just the Germans cooked up. It's part of the human psyche. We do these things to each other in our more evil moments.
Well,
there are some people who would argue
coming up this morning on
KBOO.
Yeah, well,
at 7:30, Joanne Bowman and Alan Graf.
Well, we're on the road. We don't have concentration camps quite yet. We're arresting people based upon their religious and ethnic beliefs, political affiliation. So it's happening to a degree, so we are moving. And now, you know, it's just amazing. We're no longer being, you know, shy about it. We're being brazen about it in terms of torture. You know, disrespect, you know, not an erosion. Everybody says the bill, it's an erosion of the Bill of Rights. No, it's a complete destruction.
Mm-hmm.
It's not eroding. Eroding implies like a long term process. This is happening fairly rapidly.
That's true.
Yeah. So, and I mean, that's why, you know, you're still doing a program. Are you doing something?
On Fridays, yes.
On Fridays. Every
Friday.
Oh, yeah, great.
The old people have to move over and make room for the young.
Yeah.
You
see that studio over there?
Right.
Yeah.
We were looking at all the young folks here this morning.
We're the grandparents of KBOO.
Coming up this morning on KBOO.
Which is wonderful. I mean, that's, I think, one of the strengths of KBOO is the fact that we're able to
It's Alan Gross Day, so call in and say goodbye.
Concretely, make room for and demand. I mean, it's not just a matter of making room, but actually creating a space and the opportunity for young folks to come in and learn the business.
It's awesome.
That's what I want to do.
I feel inspired sitting here and looking into the next studio and seeing the young folks kind of taking over, doing their thing, and knowing this place is going to live on, you know?
It's scary. You're making me sound, I feel like my mother.
Ha 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 ha!
You are your mother.
I'm like, wait a minute, what happened? I used to be the young person. That is a moon awakening. The day you wake up and realize, wait a minute, I'm not the young person anymore.
Yeah, but it's a good feeling, too. As I was driving in and listening to you, I was thinking about, in part, I was thinking about my role, because you're talking about your role at KBOO. And when you do take that moment to step outside of yourself and look at what's been happening and the pieces that you've been connected to, KBOO is really at the center. And as all of us know, if you've lived anywhere else, Portland is a different city, and that has a lot to do with the fact that we've had this radio station, that this community, people with their, you know, their $5 and $10 have kept this thing going.
Yes, yeah, they have.
For all this time, and we were the original progressive talk radio here.
Wow. Really? How long have you been on the air?
I started in the mid-80s, so I'm probably around 20 years.
Wow.
I lost track somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
And you've had an amazing show. I mean, it's really amazing.
I've had a great run.
Yeah, really, really.
It's been a great run. It is the absolute passion. It changed my life completely, as I'm sure it's changed yours.
Yeah.
And I altered the entire direction of my life in order to make my life work in the direction of being free to do these shows on Friday.
Uh-huh.
So I will be one of the poor people, and I'm hoping that somebody out there is working on Social Security. There are a whole bunch of us who have to work till we die.
Yeah, that would be me. Yeah. Luckily, we've saved it so far, but, you know, they're coming back.
Oh, yeah, they're trying. Let me tell you, they are trying. It's Social Security, I can tell you, they're trying their darndest to just keep, you know, crimping the system, squeezing it. I mean, they're making it harder and harder. Mm-hmm. They got a whole new bunch of regulations they're now proposing right now. It doesn't have to go through Congress at all, as if that would make much difference.
There
right.
isn't a Congress.
That's right.
Yeah,
there's
right.
a bunch of guys who are actually doing insider trading, I just heard.
inside
right. government now. I mean, everything they figure out about the business sector, they use to their advantage, and it's D.C. is basically an insider trading emporium. But I think it's also interesting because I heard a guy not long ago who is the Treasury Secretary who was questioned on CNN, where sometimes they get a bolt of lightning and ask a real question. And Wolf Blitzer interrupted him as he was giving his speech about the importance of tax cuts. And he interrupted him and said, how much is the Iraqi war costing the American taxpayer every month?
Yeah.
And the guy stammered and said, $6 billion a month. And I thought, that's where the money's going.
That's
$6 billion a month. That'd do it.
Oh, yeah. 503-231-8187. We got about 17 minutes left for this show as it is, and maybe we'll take a few more calls. Good morning, you're on KBOO.
Hello, Ellen.
Hello.
Hey, you know, we need you here in Portland. You can't leave. We're going to miss you.
I tried that one. It didn't work so well.
Well, I'm calling to thank you for your support of Public Power. This is Liz with the Oregon Public Power Coalition.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. When many of our electeds were basically silent on the issue, you know, you stepped forward and spoke out in favor of Public Power. And I wanted to bring to the attention of KBOO listeners, Eric Sten now has a Portland Business Alliance-backed opponent.
Yes, he does.
In the form of my state senator, Jenny Burdick. So
yeah.
She'll be pounding on two primary issues. Eric Sten championed both of them, voter-owned elections and public ownership. And today, unfortunately, Mayor Potter does not support condemnation, so we're sort of between a rock and a hard place.
Well, the idea that Randy Leonard has sort of stepped up to the plate and going after where did the taxes go issue is a good thing, and I think that's good.
Yes. Oh, it's excellent.
It's
going to be very disappointing if Jenny Burdick, you know, wins this race, because obviously she'll take a lot of money from the downtown business people, and Eric Sten will be taking $5
on
from
Israel,
each of
Palestine,
us.
Right,
is,
right.
And how awesome. What a great contrast that's going to be.
I think he couldn't
have asked for a better opponent than Jenny Burdick in this particular case.
And look what happened to Francis Stoney.
That's right.
He got 830,000, and everybody knew he was the corporate hoe. And, you know, against Tom Potter, he just took, you know, his own, the first basically publicly funded campaign. So,
well, we're going to miss you.
Well, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. 503-231-8187. Good morning. You're in KBOO.
Yeah.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
Say, it's not, luckily I called today. I hadn't called in quite a while. and I'm sorry to hear you're leaving, but it's always good for progress and still making yourself more available for furthering better things out there, which is wonderful.
Bravo.
And so I'd like to mention myself, I did want to bring up the subject. Did you hear, I mean, I know there's been a lot of talking going on. Did you see about the lawsuit that's now pending against Portland General Electric to refund all of its ratepayers?
No.
Oh, I've got the ads right, the newspaper clippings from Oregonian to the other Tribune, and it's due to happen here in February because they have kept it back since 1997. The Portland ratepayers have been paying way too much. It's called refunds. And there are surplus refunds with interest that should have been paid back. They were collecting for whatever it was. They have never made note of it. They've never put in their accountability on it. And now the Multnomah County Circuit Court has got them on a lawsuit now.
Who filed it?
It's sad that you can actually figure out right off the bat. Okay, yeah. What lawyer would take that on?
Yeah.
My concern is I hope we keep up with good people like you in the process of backing up the people's needs out there. I'm concerned about it. I also got another article here about the water sewage here in the city of Portland here and the problem that they've been trying to fix since 1991.
Well, before that,
right.
I remember when I came here in 88, that was the first thing that people hit me with. Like,
well,
we're pooping into Willamette River.
Well,
still doing it.
We've got it.
Hasn't
we've
changed.
Yeah, we all well, do.
Who's ever got the clout and the authority that cares for the people should hurry up and get involved on this thing.
Yeah.
Because people want to get in a part of it, but there's so much, you know, a lot of what they call rhetoric and junk you can't understand, so they keep you out of the picture. We got to get people out there that can get in the mix of this mess and put a stop on their corrupt, on the federal one, they've collected their money. They're not answering to it. They got city commissioners here. I got Sam Adams, Randy Leonard, Eric Sten, all this in pictures here. Tribune newspaper Friday, December the 9th one. That's far back there. And they're working on this thing to try to correct it. But I just thought I'd mention that out there. If people don't know that things are going on, they are going on. But we need more like you in the picture.
And you.
Yeah, and me.
And you.
And helping
That's
with
right.
Inform information. Let's be in the information track and then get out and do whatever we can do about it.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do want to wish you a very wonderful, prosperous new year and that your functions really get further down the road out there because you've got a lot, brother. And I appreciate all you've done, and I hope I hear from you again on radio.
Oh. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You take good care now.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Hey, if you want to get in touch with the Constitutional Rights Center, here's the email of the Constitutional Rights Center, info@nwcrc.org. info@nwcrc.org. And our phone number is 503-295-6400.
His guest is Tanya Reinhardt,
and,
professor.
Yeah, give us into the next month here. Get going with a new director, and hopefully we'll be doing a lot of good stuff. You know, it's happening here in Portland. It really is. And we all have to realize, you know, I always feel like I get worried about sounding like a progressive preacher. But, you know, this is the time to, like, take it to the next level.
Amen.
All of us. We got to, like, amp it up a little bit. Just push on the accelerator and, you know, move from 40 to 60 to 65 to 70. PGE, you know, the daughter of Enron. You know, the son of Enron, right? Is like acting just
the
like Enron.
Daughter.
Okay. I mean, who's surprised, you know?
Yeah.
Where did they learn their lick from? Enron was a big ripoff, and so was PGE. You know, PGE is just, you know, it's, you know, Enron's the parent company, so they're doing the same sort of stuff. I mean, you know, who would have guessed?
Let us never forget that Kenny Lay of Enron gave George Bush his private plane to campaign.
Yeah, exactly.
So the ties always go back to some nefarious center.
503-231-8187. 11 more minutes. We're counting down.
What are you going to do in Tennessee?
Oh, gee. I'm going to keep doing, actually, Social Security law for Portlanders.
Excellent.
I'm going to be doing Oregon Federal Court Appeals. I'm working with my old law firm, Swanson Thomas & Kuhn, and they're going to be handling all of my Social Security cases. And then if they lose them, God forbid, I will be the backup. So I'm still going to be taking care of Portlanders.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing that. I'm going to try to, I'm going to be hooking up with Radio Free Nashville. It's a new KBOO-like radio station in Nashville. It just started. And try to find another Joanne Bowman.
Well,
we'll be looking
it'll be
for
interesting.
Clones.
I'll be looking for you here. You'll be looking for me there.
Yeah. And another Marlena Smith, you know, to hook up with there. And I hope to also maybe, you know, do some sort of like nationally syndicated kind of left-wing Paul Harvey type of thing. Where I can, you know, get out my, you know, Jewish verbiage out there on the national network.
Hey, call Howard Stern, Sirius.
Yeah.
He's a brother.
He needs help.
And then another thing I'm doing is I'm building an office actually right across from our house on the farm, and I'm going to set it up like a conference area, and I'm going to create a hippie think tank. And it's going to be a conference area with video and computers, and I'm going to ask people, you know, like yourselves from all over the world to come, and we're just going to, like,
think.
Think into,
a place to
into,
think.
Into the night, you know, and plan and scheme the way we can, like, try to reverse what's going on, which is basically the destruction of the earth right now.
Israel.
That's what we're witnessing, the destruction, rape, pillage, and plunder,
and
not only of the Constitution of the United States, but the entire earth. That's what's happening, and we want to do something to reverse it, because guess what? I've got four grandkids.
That's right.
You know, and we're at like a year old, 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old. And 20, 30, 40 years from now, what's the earth going to be like? That's what, you know, my concern is now, you know, as I get older.
Seventh generation.
Yeah, what's it going to be like for them?
I think people should plug in Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, an epic poem that was written in 71 that still holds up.
That's right.
I still get chills every time he gets in to save the babies. Because that's what you're talking about.
That's the seventh generation,
and there isn't going to be one unless...
Unless we do something.
Unless we keep the air breathable and the water
drinkable.
Well,
the water drinkable. Do you guys remember like 30 years ago, maybe when you could go out to the woods and just drink out of a creek?
A stream, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And your biggest fear was maybe a little Giardia.
Yeah. Right. Do you remember that 30 years ago, did we have bottled water?
Mm-mm.
No.
We didn't.
Well, right. water's one of the breakthrough industries. And if you don't have money, you don't drink water. Not clean water.
Yeah.
Wow,
I mean, that's the direction we're going.
Right, nobody used to worry about drinking out of your faucet.
God, you sound old.
Yes, you do.
I remember when you could turn out the faucet and drink a glass
in the
water.
Old days.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Alan, I want to actually take an opportunity to just say how much I've learned from working with you over the last 4 years. It's been the most exciting, the most frustrating, the most challenging opportunity, and I feel really privileged that I've had this opportunity to work with you over the years.
Thank you.
It's been a phenomenal ride.
I know. Sometimes I thought, you know, Joanne's this like state legislator. She's, you know, public
all
figure.
Stop stuff.
And like
up.
I'm just I start like radicalizing here. I'm thinking, oh my God, she's probably like, you know, gonna go out there and go, you do a show with who?
Well, here's the contrast. Here sits Joanne in a suit looking all professional and lovely at her laptop. And here's Alan with his Ragweed Celebration T-shirt on 2005. I mean, anybody who wants to see a picture of contrast,
it's us all the time.
How did you two come together?
Oh,
we told that story a little earlier.
Yeah.
But the short version is that him and I were working together on police accountability when there was an argument on the Portland Public School Board about whose people suffered more. And Alan and I connected and said, gee, wouldn't it be nice to be able to show an African-American and a Jewish person who disagree a lot but aren't disagreeable? And we proposed that to the state, to the video show, and the rest is history, eh?
Absolutely. That's right. 503-231-8187. We've got time for just a few more callers. If you can make it short, sweet.
Oh, you sound like me. Oh,
all right, let's
I'm getting warm and fuzzy.
Let's go to our next caller. Good morning on KBOO.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say, Alan, that we're going to be missing you out here. I got the privilege to work with you one show on Brain Stew that one night with Alan. You were up against the Libertarian.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Social Security, and that must have been the most riveting show I've ever seen.
Oh, that was fun.
I mean, the emotion that the guy came on about the Social Security and him getting ripped off and lied to by the government and
right.
being called that he was a handout. Your face was unbelievable. And I'm going to be airing that out again. And that was one time, and I wish we could have done it more. But we're going to be missing you up here, and I wish I could have worked with you more. You guys said something real quick about the water and the
right,
bottled water.
Right.
I found out yesterday, somebody told me yesterday that the bottled water isn't even under the strict guidelines.
Right.
Tested under the city and state standards.
Ah.
So they may be just like taking water, filling it up in the faucet, and putting a little label on it.
You're right.
They're selling something called Oregon water now. Have you guys seen the ads for that?
Oregon water, so they fill it up in a faucet and bottle it, huh?
Well, they claim that they actually get it from the rain.
Right,
well, I think
it.
We should start some willy water. Sell it in dirty bottles.
Well, you're right, Alan, and we gotta work on the destruction of our Earth and our planet. Are
thank
you there?
You.
All right,
yeah,
thank
we're
you.
Here.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah. We're not going anywhere. We're going to keep Michael Franny on.
Okay, and I just wanted to know how I get a hold of Joanne.
Right here at the station.
How do I? Do you have an email or something? Or
I do, but I don't want to give it out over the system. Call
can
the
you
station.
Email me? Can you email me at brainstewtv.com?
And who? Why don't you leave it with Richard? And yes, I can do that.
Okay. And last thing is, I'm producing another show that's on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, and it's free holistic health care.
All right.
And what happens is the host is the doctor of the year last year. His name is Chris Miletus.
Oh, cool.
And you can actually call in and ask him questions. And I am giving the poor people an opportunity to talk to a doctor without having to pay any money. It's on Channel 11, 8 p.m., the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, called Nature's Ways.
All right. Thank you.
And the people that need health care, we will help you in any way we can.
All right.
So take care, and we love you, and bye, Alan.
All right. Hey, a lot of good stuff happening in Portland.
Yeah,
and
just feel the love this morning.
Just wonderful place. Let me tell you, yeah, we got. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
This is Deborah Howes.
Deborah Howes.
Deborah, hey.
Oh my God, are you in Portland?
No, I'm in Connecticut, and I just want to let you know that there is a world outside of Portland, but there's nothing like it.
Oh, Deborah, I love you so much.
Nice line, Deb.
I'm so glad to hear from you.
And thank God for the web, and all those folks who listen on the web, it's very important to pay your membership dues.
That's right.
So that
right.
you don't feel guilty, but that way you can stay connected.
Come visit me in Tennessee.
I would love to.
On the farm, would you do that?
I would.
You
yes,
can go
would.
Think with Ellen.
That's right. You can join our think tank.
Think with Ellen. That sounds like a show. I like
well, have
it.
Have a tank with Ellen.
Get in the tank with Ellen.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Deborah, we miss you.
It was great to see you. But,
yeah, we really miss you in Portland. There's another person that Portland misses
well,
tremendously.
Well, I miss Portland terribly, I'll tell you. There's no place like it, but I need to be here.
All right. Thank you for calling in. I hope to talk to you soon.
I hope so, too.
All right.
Take care. Good luck on your new journey.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Thanks for all you guys do. Love you. Bye.
All right.
Love you, too. Bye.
Is it true there's no place like home?
No place like home. I guess so.
Portland's home.
That's right. Hey, another
Abel
call?
The heart.
Let's go to another caller. Come on.
Hello.